Hey there, welcome back to the Pal Doula Podcast. I'm Sarah, your host, and today we're tackling a topic that is probably on the minds of many of us in the Pal community, scanxiety. You know, that mix of excitement and dread that we feel before every ultrasound appointment during pregnancy after loss. So, grab a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's dive in. Welcome to the Pal Doula Podcast, where we navigate the journey of pregnancy after loss. Join us for heartfelt stories, expert insights, and a supportive community as we explore the resilience, hope, and healing that accompany this unique chapter in life. Don't forget to subscribe for a compassionate space where no one walks alone. As I mentioned in the last episode of the Pal Doula Podcast, February's focus on here is anxiety during pregnancy after loss. When people find out that I'm a doula who specializes in loss and pregnancy after loss, the most common question that I get is, how do I manage anxiety during my pregnancy after loss? So that's where this series came from. As the pregnancy after loss doula, I want to help you succeed in PAL. So we're talking about the biggest struggles that I know most of us will face during this journey. One of the most common sources of anxiety for moms who are pregnant after loss is centered around appointments and ultrasounds. So if you've been in the PAL space for very long, you've probably heard the term scanxiety. It means exactly what it sounds like. Anxiety around scans. Scanxiety. Okay, so let's get real for a minute here. Why is it that waiting for an ultrasound, then going in, going through the ultrasound, and even leaving can feel like a roller coaster of emotions for us PAL mamas? Well, for many of us, this is where we found out before that our babies had died. In that clinical OB room, when the ultrasound machine was silent and the sonographer was even quieter, this is where we first heard the words, "I'm sorry, there is no heartbeat," and where this nightmare began. For others, the journey towards eventual loss began in the ultrasound room, where you found out that something was wrong, something that would lead to the death of your much-loved baby. And so, it makes sense that we're afraid of being in that situation again. We're afraid of being in the place, the physical place, where our lives once changed forever. We're afraid of that happening again. So, what can we do to combat that anxiety to make scans less terrifying? Let's start with the in-between, the wait for the first or the next ultrasound appointment. Honestly, for me, the best thing was to just keep myself busy. I filled my days with work. I was a teacher to a class full of all boys except for one girl, and so it was a little bit of organized chaos. But it was exactly what I needed to keep my mind occupied with something other than fear. Every single day was busy. I had to be on top of those kids to keep chaos from reigning in my classroom. And on top of that, I had to try to make sure that they were learning something. So my mind was occupied with my kids rather than the kid in my belly and my fear of the scan coming up. Then my nights were filled with hobbies and with friends and family. My husband and I love to host people, and we have people over all the time. And we did that a lot during my pregnancy, just because having other people there kept us from worrying. It occupied our space, and so it occupied our head space as well. We also went on a lot of walks, keeping our bodies active, and we FaceTimed people a lot. We talked to our parents a lot, and we went to every high school basketball game that we possibly could. Our assistant pastor is the high school basketball coach in our town, and so we went mostly to support him. We didn't actually know any of the players, but And I know absolutely nothing about basketball. But learning about basketball and watching those games was another thing that just filled the space for me and kept my mind from being too empty, and creating space for anxiety, if that makes sense. So anything that we could do to keep our minds off of what was coming and keep our minds free of fear. But also, I did spend a lot of time thinking about it. My midwife was really helpful in that she sent us an email before each appointment telling us what we would be talking about the next time we saw her. It gave my husband and I a chance to talk about our questions with each other and to voice concerns with each other, and then to bring those questions to our midwife. As a side note, this is one of the reasons it's so important to find a good provider, is that you need someone who will be willing to listen to your questions and who will not make you feel stupid for voicing concerns. So that email, again, that my midwife sent, usually included talking points too, such as what family to allow to visit immediately after birth, or the routine procedures during pregnancy, or even the things right after birth, like vitamin K shot or eye ointment or whatever, so that we would have an opportunity to talk about them and decide if we would consent to those procedures or not. And it gave us something to talk about rather than filling our conversations with what if. And then we did talk about the what if as well. And when we did, we made it a point to be really careful in those conversations. We did want to have a plan in place for if something went wrong, and I think it's important to have that kind of a plan, but we didn't want to dwell on the fear and anxiety. We didn't want to wallow in our anxiety, and we also wanted to acknowledge that we were afraid, and make space for that in our conversations as well. So honestly, it meant that a lot of our conversations were very clinical and didn't have a lot of emotion, because we just had to get through them. We had to make the plan. But then usually one of us was triggered. Honestly, usually me. And so we would stop that conversation, but make a plan to pick it up later. And also, we did have a lot of conversations where one or both of us cried the whole time, and we did fall into that spiral of anxiety sometimes. And I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing, because it brought us closer together as a couple, and it gave us an opportunity to pray and ask the Lord to help us to trust Him. So, go into each appointment with a plan. Know what the goal of the appointment is. So, for example, the very first appointment is mostly just to confirm pregnancy. So for me, I knew I was about 5 weeks along. I'd been tracking my cycles and I had pinpointed ovulation. I knew what day I got pregnant. And my goal was to confirm that pregnancy, and to get my progesterone tested. I was taking a self-diagnosed progesterone supplement at the time, and I really wanted to know if I should increase my dose or keep doing what I was doing. And so I went in with the plan of asking for progesterone testing so that I knew what to plan for in that area. And as a side note, at that appointment, they did confirm my pregnancy. They ran an ultrasound, which I wasn't necessarily expecting because I was so early. And then they did some blood tests. Here's the side note part of that. It's really important to know your dates, if at all possible. So like I mentioned, I was 5 weeks along and I knew that because I had been tracking. I knew the day that I ovulated. However, I also knew that I had ovulated really, really late that cycle. Like, I think I ovulated on day 35. So based on my last period, which is all the information that they had at the doctor's office, I would have been 10 weeks along. not five. So when the sonographer saw my scan, she started trying to prepare me for another miscarriage and saying that my baby was too small and would probably die. But I knew my dates, and so I was able to talk myself down from that instant anxiety spike, and explain to her that I knew when I ovulated and that I was not that far along. And the sonographer was really relieved. She was like, most people don't know their dates that well, and I am so glad you do, because I would have been, like, the doctor would have been talking to you about possible DNC and that kind of thing. And yeah, so I was able to avoid that kind of a conversation just because I knew my dates well. And then I was able to stay calm and manage that trigger in a healthy way based on knowledge rather than emotion and fear. And it was kind of a surreal experience for me, because it did a little bit feel like my fears were coming true, even though I knew for a fact that they weren't. So anyway, there's my side note. And all that to say, go into each appointment with a plan, and if at all possible, know as much about your body as you can. Another thing, if you know that a certain medical office or a specific person are triggering for you, or even if you're not sure but you think that there's something that might bring up memories and make you more anxious, try to manage those triggers too. Switch medical offices if that's an option for you. I know that's not possible for a lot of us. I only have one women's care office in my whole county, so it's not possible for a lot of people in my county to find someone else. I did, but part of that was just I was driving to another state because my midwife was licensed in a different state, and I actually gave birth in a different state so that I could be with my midwife. And I chose her because I knew her already. She was a good friend of my family's. So anyway, I know a lot of you are in the same position where you only have one office and one option for where you can go. So you can also call ahead and explain your situation and ask that you not be put in XYZ room or not be assigned to a certain provider, nurse, or sonographer. Usually people are pretty understanding about that kind of thing, especially if you say, I had a loss and these things hold memories and anxiety for me. They're willing to, I mean, you're paying for their services. So usually people are willing to make, what's the word I'm looking for? Make accommodations for you. And if you don't think that you can do that, ask a friend to call ahead for you. Also, don't go alone to your appointment. Bring someone with you who knows your story and who can help calm your anxiety. For me, that was my husband. And it also helped that my midwife is a good family friend, and she bent over backwards to help us feel comfortable. If I hadn't known my midwife, I honestly think I might have brought another friend with me just for one more emotional support person. Another idea is to have a doula come with you or have them on the phone or available for texting so that they can help calm your fears and answer questions along the way. Since I'm talking about it, here's a shameless plug for my own services. If you sign up for my one-on-one texting support, I can be that person for you. This support package allows you to reach out to me at any time you have a question or need to talk through things with someone who understands and has been where you are. It's like having your BFF at your fingertips, and that bestie just happens to know a lot about pregnancy and birth and has been through loss and PAL too. I get where you're coming from, and I can offer that compassionate, knowledgeable support that you need. I'll have a link in my show notes of this episode to sign up for that. One last thing, have a plan for what you're going to do after the appointment. My husband and I got milkshakes a lot. Being able to look forward to something makes that appointment a little less of something to dread, if that makes sense. It's so helpful to end on a positive note, isn't it? After every nerve-wracking ultrasound appointment, go treat yourself. Whether that's with a decadent milkshake, which is obviously my treat of choice, My favorite is like anything with peanut butter and chocolate together. Or go home and take a relaxing bubble bath, or go work out, or whatever sparks joy for you, go do it. creating little post-appointment rituals can help you unwind and can help celebrate those little victories along the way. During pregnancy after loss, so often we are holding our breath and focusing on not being afraid or whatever. And it is important to recognize joyful moments when they come and to celebrate them. So along this whole journey, it is really, really important to continue to recognize your own emotions and feelings. Pregnancy is a marathon, not a sprint. So you can't just hold your breath, put your head down, and plow through it. If you do that, you'll suffocate and pass out. It's so important to breathe, right? If you listened to the last episode, we talked about some breathing exercises. Breath is important. There's a reason it's called the breath of life. Also, remind yourself of what is true today in this moment. And then surround yourself with a village of people who will support you and be there for you when you need them. We all need our support squad, especially when we're navigating the ups and downs of pregnancy after loss. So whether it's a doula by your side, a bestie to vent to, a virtual support group, whatever, having people who get it can make all the difference. Well, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thanks for hanging out with me as we tackled the beast known as scanxiety. Remember, you're not alone in this journey, and it is okay to feel all the feels. If you've got any questions or just want to chat, hit me up. I'm always here for you. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. We're going to be talking about preparing for birth after loss. It's going to be a good one. Until next time, take care and keep rocking that pal journey. Thank you for joining us today on the Pal Doula Podcast. Remember, the journey of pregnancy after loss is unique, but you are not alone. Stay hopeful, dear pal mama. Until next time, take care.